First of all, we'd like to say hello to our brothers and sisters that are online. I look here, I see Sister Cheryl is listening. We also is not here today, Brother Danny, and he just sent me a message, said I have a cold, so I'm not going to go to church for that reason. And it's wonderful that even, you know, let us know why he's not here, because he knows that he'll be missed every time we come and see that he's not here. We also like to say hello to my brother Al, Brother Tewksbury, those dear brothers and sisters that are not be able to be here, Sister Anna, Anna Rivers, and all the others that are logged in. We also have a Brother Jet's mom, she's online too, Sister Epifania. Magadango Maga, sister, and we know that all of them are, you know, they wish they could be here, so it's because of technology they are able to. So we praise them, and those of you, please, I would like to say this to you, invest a little moment in your church. Look beside you and see this is empty because I did not make a phone call. So make a phone call, you know, just show that you care. It's very important for us because we are a family. In the beginning of our worship, we sing family twice. One for us and for the ones that are our family, but it's not here. So let's always have that spirit that we are a family. And I used to tell people, and I still, sometimes I do say this, it says, we are stuck together forever.
Amen.
You know, we always have to learn to behave and treat each other well, because this is a forever business. It's not like somebody says, I see you today and I hope I don't see you again. No, I see you today and I'll be seeing you for throughout eternity. Amen. So we have to learn how to love each other as Christ loves us and he gave his life for us. So let's be kind to each other and let's be always concerned about each other. That is the investment that we must make every day. Very easy for us to remember, right? Matthew 24, 42. And so sometimes those things helps you to memorize. It's easy for you to remember. So always be ready, because you do not know the day your Lord will come. None of us know, but we can be ready. Today's message, we entitle The First Day. Last time, last Sabbath, was The Last Days. So today we decided to make it a little bit interesting. So this is the first time in my entire ministry that I use this title, The First Day. Sometimes we wondering, first day of what? First day of life, his first day of life. Yes, here's a Malawi mom showing with a beautiful smile her newborn baby, a girl. She welcomed, it was the first day of her life. Here is this little fella holding him tied to his father's hand. Is my first day in school. I don't know how many of you even remember that. I remember the first day I went to school. And I don't want to go into details because why I remember. But it is sometimes for some children is a huge impact. Sometimes they have reason to be afraid. They overwhelmed with fear. And some children are overwhelmed with joy when they go and to this new environment where they find a lot of little ones like them. And so also, the first day at work. Some of us work, it's a wonderful thing. We really enjoy it. But for some people, work is a burden because they don't enjoy what they do. And if you do enjoy what you do, then it's fun to work. But work is always necessary. It's part of the fiber of being human. We need to work. Everybody, those that do not work, are missing a wonderful opportunity to have a meaningful life. Unless, of course, there are circumstances that does not allow you to. But everyone can do some kind of work. And so, yes, look how happy she is. This is her first day at work. First day of spring. What season do you like the most? Some people say, oh, it's spring, but spring is when you get, you know, the allergies and everything else. But in life, you know, summer, there is a heat. Winter, there is a cold. But every season has something special. If you take only one day of the time, it is very important. So the spring welcomes the flowers. Then first day of summer. I like this. I was looking for graphics, and I found this, and I noticed that as somebody went to the beach, he took the Bible with him, or her, and there is, that's where I got this. First day of fall, first day of winter, first day, one day, or day one. What is it? You decide. One day refers to the idea of putting things off and saying, oh, maybe later, mañana. Not today, mañana, tomorrow, I'll do this. Always living for another day, what are you supposed to be doing today? Day one is starting right now, decided today. Today, it must be the greatest day of your life. Why? Because that's all you got. And what you do with it, it will make a difference. And I hope today will be the day that you will have all your questions answered about that special day when the Lord comes. This was quite a few years ago. I went to give a Bible study to a senior couple, his name Arnold, and his wife was Mary. And they were very, very dedicated Catholics. They did not want to receive Bible studies. But we found a way, and the plan worked. God gave us an idea. It worked. And so they accept to receive Bible studies. So I was going to their home once a week. And here I come and I'm ready to knock at the door. A neighbor came by and says, Pastor, 1 minute. And I knew him. I met him before. His name was Peter. He said, Pastor, 1 minute. I have a question. And the question that he asked me, more than a billion people have problem with. At least a billion Roman Catholics have problems with this question. The question was, should we have a mass, you know, a prayer for our dead, our loved one that died? And he says, because we do not know if our loved one is in a purgatory. You know what a purgatory is? The word purga means to pay. Purgatory is a place that was created by the Roman Church. I step before you go to hell, to heaven. You know, if you're in a purgatory, you have skipped hell. So now you are in your way to heaven, but you need to barbecue yourself a little bit because you have a misbehavior a little time. Why I'm being sarcastic about it and I'm making fun of it? Because it's so evil and ridiculous, the concept that God wants you to stop by someplace and be punished and tormented for a while before you're good enough to go to heaven. One day, this individual said, I want to know, Pastor, because we have a loved one that passed away, and there is pressure on the family for us to call the priest, pay him, because they had to pay for a special mass service for our loved ones. And sometimes the priest says, no, it needs two or three. And sometimes they go the first one, then there's a second one, there's a third one. And sometimes they just get together and pray the rosary together to help that beloved one. Maybe if that particular person is in the purgatory, our prayers will alleviate how long this person has to stay there, and that person then goes to heaven. So he asked me this question, and I looked at him. He was around 20 to 30 years older than I was, at least I calculated. So I said, this must be a trick question. If I am not answering this correctly, I'm not only do not get him to study the Bible, but he may tell his neighbors what answer I gave. And that may be used to discourage them to continue Bible studies, because I realized that he was related to the couple. So I said, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, and you are a strong Roman Catholic. If I give you my answer, you're going to look at me like this is a young fella from another church with a different opinion. And then my answer will be my church's opinion. I know, I look at you, I see that you are sincere with your question. And maybe if Jesus answers your question, it will be better for you. I said to him, why don't you come in and you ask Jesus this question? Because who am I to tell you what to do about your loved one? He looked at me, because I don't know how many of you have been a Catholics, because I have been a Catholic. And it is normal for Catholics to be a little bit suspicious about things, because that's the way, you know, it's part of the whole thing. So he looked at me like, okay, he went along. So I knocked the door, and they opened the door and they were surprised. Here's the pastor, and they did not expect their relative here is also. And they are shocked. And I says, by the way, he want to ask a question to Jesus. Then the two of them become like, what in the world is going on? But in a very respectful way, they waited to see what happened. As we got in, this couple always had a family Bible, big Bibles, Catholic. And on top of their coffee table, right in them, you got in their house, the first thing you'll see was the Bible there open. They always had it open. And this was a Catholic Bible, and it has a picture of the Bishop of Rome at that time, and has his letter saying, yes, this is a Catholic Bible. Catholics can read this Bible and everything else, and sign. And so there was the Bible. So I said, now, Peter, ask Jesus. And I point to the Bible. Ask Jesus your question and see what Jesus will have to say. He played along. He looked at the Bible and says, Jesus, should I pray for my loved one that died? So I went to the Bible and I said, let's see what Jesus says. And I turned the Bible. It says there in the Bible, don't be surprised at this. John 5, 28 and 29. A time is coming when all who are dead and in their graves will hear his voice. Where are they? I didn't ask him. Okay, I'm asking you now. Where were they?
In the graves.
Not in the purgatory. Not in hell. Not in limbo. Not in somewhere. In their graves, not the body, not the ashes, because they will hear his voice in the grave. And I continue. Verse 29. Then they will come out of their graves. They will not come down. They will come out of their graves. Those who did good will rise and have life forever. But those who did evil will rise to be judged guilty. Nobody's being punished at this moment for anything until they come back to life and face the consequences or embrace the reward, one or the other. It is always only two options: or embrace the reward, which is eternal life, or be judged for eternal death. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ continues when his disciples ask him. Someone said to Jesus, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" And there is a little, and the rest of the verse says, and Jesus said, but I just want to use this one. This is Luke 13:23, New Century Version. Someone said to Jesus, "Lord, will only a few people be?" You'll be amazed how many pastors and believers have this concept that is going to be just a tiny little group that will be saved. I have good news for you. I have great news for you. Go ahead, say amen, because it is good news. Unless you're afraid that good news is not going to be good news. But it is good news. There will be, as the sand of the sea will be the number of the saved. And guess what? I mean, look at some of them.
Amen.
I mean, look at some of them. When Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God." What is to trust?
In God.
God said, "He's coming again. Trust him."
Amen.
For 4,000 years, he said, "He is coming to die in our behalf. The Lamb will come. The Lamb will come." And you know what he said? When he arrived, a bunch of shepherds saw a choir in heaven singing, giving praises. And I don't know how many of you even think about this, but that's the way I think. I went to the Bible and I ask a lot of questions. I never read the Bible without asking a lot of questions. I think it's good if you ask the questions because you're searching for more things to know instead of just a rebellious attitude. I ask the questions, Bethlehem is not too far away from Jerusalem. And if it is a bunch of angels in heaven singing, in those days they didn't have a radio, they didn't have cars, trucks driving down the road, so the noise was not there. So this voice, I wonder somebody was there in their bed and said, what a sound is that? Even bothered to go out? I don't know. But those questions come to my mind. I wonder how many people in Bethlehem or in Jerusalem, which is very close by, heard this choir of angels singing in the sky. I imagine there were strong and beautiful voices. Then another question came to me. It says, those shepherds, they saw the angels. The angels talked to them, told them, this is it. This is what you have been waiting for 4,000 years. It is here. And the Bible does not tell us. I'm anxious to go to heaven and find out about the details. Because did they go to Jerusalem and told the priests? Did they do anything with the information that they received? We do not know. There is silence about it. What do we know? that after Mary stayed a few days for the cleaning, you know, because when a woman gave birth, she has to be isolated, which is beautiful, a very wonderful thing. The baby needs to be isolated so they don't get any contamination. And then after that period, here comes Mary with the baby in her hand and Joseph to Jerusalem. And nobody knew except a prophet and a prophetess that embrace and gave praise to God finally. But then another question. Why that prophet and prophetess didn't go exactly directly to the temple? He says, I saw him. I took him in my hand. The promise has been fulfilled. There is silence there too. 18 months go by. Here come three wise men from far away, following a star, which actually was an angel in the sky, comes to the city with all their good looking and everything else, and got an audience with the king. Where is he? Where is he? What are you talking about? Where is he? The king. I am the king. What are you talking about? No, not you. A king of kings that was just born because a star told us to come. Isn't it embarrassed that sometimes people come from so far away and they get the grasp of the Messiah more than those that have been reading the Bible every day for so many centuries and they couldn't figure out anything? But let's continue with the message. Then let your hearts not be troubled, trust in God. Trust also in me. In John 14, verse 1, 2, 3, verse 2 says, there are many rooms in my Father's house. Why is Jesus saying, if there are so many, and yet there will be only few? Because there will not be few, there's going to be many. Not only many rooms, but many, many, a multitude of saved. I would not have told you if this is not true. I am going to prepare a place for you. I have a mission. And many Christians criticize the Seventh-day Adventist Church because we have this understanding what Jesus is doing since 1844. You know what he's doing? He is putting the numbers together. In Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he told them, multiply and do what? Continue, please. Let's see if you remember. Fill the earth. So God has a number that fills the earth. Then came the flood. God told Noah and his children the same thing. Fill the earth. Then here comes Jesus, and Jesus gives a parable. He says, I have a banquet. Send the servants out to bring people. And they went, and they brought some. And they kept saying, but Lord, there is still some room left. And the master kept telling them, Go out, get more, until every place is taken. It's also give a sense of a number. And then I think I can tell you that I believe Jesus Christ is now in the most holy place, waiting for that number to be fulfilled. When the number that fills the earth is finally accomplished, Jesus Christ is going to say, it is finished. Come, angels, it's time for us to pick up our beloved children. I can't stay one more minute, one more day, without going rescue them from that such destructive and mean world. And so, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you. Why underline this? When I study with the Catholics, I use those verses, and I says, pay attention to this. It says, I'm coming back to take you. Therefore, you are not there. This business is all diabolical. It has nothing to do with reality. Nobody went to heaven except those that the Bible says they went. Do you remember their names, right? Enoch. What else? Moses. Where else?
Elijah.
What else?
Jesus Christ.
Those the Bible mentioned specifically, they went. Two that died and was resurrected, and two that went without experienced death. Symbolic as well. And so it take you to be with me so that you may be where I am, because you are not here yet. So I have to go down there to take you and bring you to, so you be where I am. When? At the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time. It doesn't sound precisely like Jesus is talking to us about his coming. I was surprised when I saw where this verse comes from. Look. But keep on waiting. It will happen. This almost sounds like a text from the New Testament, but it's Habakkuk 2, verse 3, Common English Version. Now, but of that day and hour no one knows. And it's very sad that even though they were very inspired, they are very dedicated people, I have no doubt that the Lord was with them. But William Miller and most of the followers that became, some of them became Seventh-day Adventists later on, they missed this text. They missed this, which says, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No one knows. So it's not for us to set dates. From this pulpit here, I invited one time an individual to preach here at this church. And sadly, he used this pulpit to tell the members at that time that, you see, it's a mathematical thing. There were 6,000 years already passed. So guess where is going to be the seventh? It's going to be in heaven. So he started preaching that in the year 2000, Jesus was going to come. And when there were 6,000 years, the seventh, the millennium, we're going to be in heaven. We have to be careful. We have a very clear warning in the Bible. We don't supposed to be setting dates. We're supposed to take one day at a time. And today must be the first day of that journey. The first day, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 18, I think is a delightful piece of scriptures. New Living Translation says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And he says, first, this is what I call attention to people also, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Rise from where?
Grave.
Not from purgatory, not from hell, from any other place, but from their graves. That's where everybody who died is. Resting until the Lord comes. And it says, first, now he continues, then together with them, we who is still alive at that day on earth, they still remain on earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So we encourage each other with these words. I let my mind sometimes go free to to speculate things, and I want to share with some of this with you today. Jesus Christ is coming. I want you to picture this. Jesus Christ is coming. All the angels are coming with him. Do you know how many all means?
Millions.
Billions of billions of billions of angels. Now, some of you are good in math and knows those things. You may calculate how the earth, complete the whole earth, how many faces will take to create a shell over the whole earth. We know the Bible does say that there will be no dark place anywhere. So I imagine, my mind allowed me to go through this far, that around the entire earth, there will be not a single spot that would not have an angel looking at the earth. And because they all have glory and light, there will be so much light that even if you are in a cave 300 feet down, it will be as if it's noontime. It is going to be the greatest event ever in creation. All because of you. All because of you. And then, what is beautiful is that the moment that they come and the voice is given and the people come out of the grave, they come out of the grave shining also. Because right beside them, they will open their eyes, they will see their guardian angel holding hands with all together will be taken up to the sky. The whole earth, billions and billions of people being lifted up. It is something that I believe that people probably from other planets will be able to see all these angels, all of us, all shining. Because as the Bible says, we'll be transformed. He says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die. We will all, it says, but we will be all transformed. Now we look at each other right now, we all look different. We are different shapes. We have a different stature, you know, many different things. But all this because sin has affected us. Sin has worked in us to destroy the image of God. But when sin is taken out, all that God wants us to be will come back. And we all going to be, look like the Almighty One. We all going to look exactly the way He wants us to look. All of us perfect. All of us shining in glory because of His righteousness. It will happen in a moment. I had a member once. He was a physician, and he had a very unique way to see the Bible. And I was told, some member says, Pastor, you need to go to the Sabbath school class because the doctor is telling everybody there was no such thing in the Bible 7 days of creation. Each day was 1,000 years. Because God could not, it's not possible that God could have created such a complex world in such a short period of time. I think the doctor would have a problem with this too, because you see, billions of people be transformed in just like this. That's what it says. Look at what it says. In a blink of an eye. This is how long it's going to take God to remove everything that took 6,000 plus years for the devil to damage. All the damage that the evil has done on us is going to take God just like that. Wow, I don't know if this... It, for me, it's a wonderful thing, for when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, rise. And we who are living will also be transformed. Everybody will be transformed. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. To the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and also verse 9, which says, the Lord isn't ready, really being slow about his promise, as some people think. I remember when I was baptized long time ago, I used to hear, breve virá, breve virá. You know, Jesus, coming soon, The Herald's quartet used to sing that voice prophecy. I heard that so many times, and they had such enthusiasm that I thought it was going to be just maybe a year or maybe a few months later. And I don't say this in a sarcastic way. Why? Because sometimes we're so selfish. We think about why Jesus doesn't come right now. And most of the time it's because we are tired. We think about us. But you know, I'm glad that that day was not the first day. Do you know why? Because how many more people have today embraced it will be in the kingdom? So he says like this, as some people think, no, he is being patient for your sake. Yes, for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. It is grace that is waiting. It is grace. It is grace that is making an opportunity for someone that did not have a chance if the Lord already had come. Here's the road. There in the back is the light. The road to walk in one day at a time. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. This is the point that we have to have in mind. It is not for how long I have been in the church. What it counts is that when Jesus Christ comes, that becomes my first day in eternity. That's why we chose this title. It is not about all the days, because they will not matter. They will mean nothing. All the days of our lives, there is nothing more important than the first day with a new transformation, a good looking. By the way, I'm going to get my hair back. I'm going to get it back. Oh, yeah, I'm going to look, you have no idea. I challenge you. You're going to see that how much powerful God is when he transformed this guy. You better be there. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. You know, I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Brothers and sisters, don't let your faith be shaken. It's all going to be for nothing if you don't remain faithful. Finally, there is laid upon up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but all these good-looking holy people that I'm looking at. It says, those that loves his appearing. Some people are wishing that Christ does not come. I need a little bit more time. A little bit more time. But those that are anxious to see him shall see him. And finally, and I am sure of this, that he who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that you good-looking people will be there.
Amen.
I am anxious to see him. I don't know about you. This world is being great, but it's nothing in comparison to what the Lord has reserved for you, his loved ones.
Amen.
God bless you. Make this count. Make sure that that first day of eternity is the most important of all the days ever, is that first day. I hope you'll be there. I pray you'll be there.
Amen.
When we all get to heaven,